Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinich.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. First things first, if you guys are watching on video and you're like, hey, that is a fabulous shirt. This is a fabulous shirt. It's actually a shirt that Ziva made. Ziva's been on the show before. Ziva's my child. And it's awesome. It can be like multiple different sizes. It's so cool. Look at this. All right. If you're not watching on video, go find a video of this or look at one of the clips, the short clips that comes out on Instagram and TikTok and stuff. Or just ask me. I have a picture of it. It's freaking awesome. Anyways, just saying, have a fabulous shirt on. And if you want one just like it, orders are happening. Okay. So tonight we're going to talk about reclaiming pleasure after trauma, because you know what, guys, trauma, it's big, it's there, and oftentimes it stops you from having pleasure. The reason I know this is because I've lived it. The reason I actually do what I do is because I have lived a lot of the stuff that I talk about on this show. So one of the things that I do for a living, if you are watching on video, you'll notice all kinds of interesting things in the background, contraptions and medicine things and wild paintings. I do all kinds of things. And what I actually do is I really help people who are finding that they have a hard time getting a solution to their health. They're feeling a little bit lost and let down by the medical system for the most part, and they just are looking for something to help them. And 99% of the time, these are people who have experienced extreme trauma and extreme stresses, and they don't know how to navigate it. And so what I do is I help you get out of trauma and into pleasure, whether it's the pleasure of having sex with your partner again or having orgasms on your own, or whether it's the pleasure of being able to walk without pain, or whether it's being able to eat food and not have reactions to everything. All of those actually can change up a lot when you start to work with trauma and be able to let that go. So I do that using some of the fun, fancy things you see in my background. And I also do that with body work, which is a thing that I've been doing for over 18 years. I do body work called the Mitzvah Technique, which we essentially, us practitioners of the Mitzvah Technique, we work with bringing your posture back into place so your body can get rid of faulty postural habits, bring on good postural habits. And that does things like increases your ability to breathe better, increases your digestion, increases your sleep, because now you actually have good blood flow going in your brain, decreases things like headaches and all kinds of stuff. So good posture is actually really a fantastic way to start to help your body to let go of trauma. Trauma bodies often have a lot of tells when you look at them. There are certain things that you can see in bodies with trauma, especially the ones who are extra trying to hide it, and then they have a lot of rigidity from just trying really hard to be straight. So we look for the flow, and we look to bring flow back into your life with the practices of the Mitzvah Technique, somatic body work that I do. And tonight, I'm mentioning a little bit more on that than I usually do, because tonight is really about reclaiming pleasure after trauma. And part of reclaiming pleasure is you got to know you got a body. So reclaim the body. Reclaiming the body is, I'd say, step one in reclaiming the body. So looking back on my healing journey, I had multiple traumas in my life that, you know, then repetitive traumas, but I'd have to say that the sexual traumas were probably the most life-changing. They changed the way that I felt about myself and the way that I felt about my body. Other traumas, like losses of people in my life, or That sort of stuff didn't affect my body the same way that sexual assault did. Sexual assault affected my body in such a way that I don't even really know how to describe it, other than feeling like kind of like you're hovering, like you're not really in your body. And what I did find a lot is that I would walk into things because I was not in my body. So I walk into furniture a lot. My legs were like covered in bruises because I wasn't connected to my body at all. I also found anytime that I would try and have any like sexual interaction, I would have very extreme reactions to it. So I would either have almost like if men can have premature ejaculation, what I would have would be like extreme hypersensitivity, and like any touch would set me either off in a way that would make me angry and want to hurt somebody, or set me off where it was like a touch in the most bizarre place could have created an orgasmic reaction. It was like my body didn't even understand anymore, like what was pleasure, and it didn't understand how to be present, and nothing made sense. And then, years later, kind of working through stuff, realizing that, consent is required even when you're in relationships. That kind of like was an eye opener as well in my 20s. Like, oh, wait a second, I'm in a relationship and I actually need, I should be able to consent or say no, even though we kind of have this brain training that says if you're in a relationship, you should just surrender and hand it over. Have this obligation sex, which absolutely sucks. So, yeah, let me think. Like, I don't even know. Years of like a lot of confusing sexual stuff. Years of just trying to like figure out what I actually liked, and years of being able to feel like I could trust and relax into my body. My husband is the person who actually really helped me tremendously with that. He didn't probably know it coming in, but it's his ever presence that he's just very present person. And his presence has helped me become more of me, where I've become more curious since I turned 39 or 40 since meeting him than I ever was in my 20s. I like would try stuff and I was interested in things, but my curiosities, or even my, like, if he were to say to me, do you, it could be the randomest thing he could say to me about like wanting to try and have sex somewhere, and at the same time, let's light a fire and see what happens. I'd probably be like, you know what? I feel like you got this. Let's do it. Let's light the fire and see what happens. We might die, we might not, but you know what? I trust that we're going to be okay. Why? Because I'm with you and I trust that you know where the dangers are. And that's a funny thing about being with a partner who has great strengths in ways that are actually incredibly gentle. Some people refer to that as like the alpha man. So it doesn't really matter if it's a man or a woman. If you're in a relationship and you're lesbians and you are with somebody who can be that strength for you, it's more to me about having the partner that has a strong character, that is able to be strong and gentle, and that you can lean on, and that you can allow yourself to open up. So here's a little fun and funny story. I know I've talked about Cabbage Patch Kids on here before, and I know people are like, what the hell does that have to do with sex? Here's the thing, guys. Play helps you heal trauma, and healing trauma helps you have more pleasure. So there's the connection. So the Cabbage Patch Kids story goes a little something like this. I had many Cabbage Patch Kids growing up, four of them, and a horse, and then I had like made furniture for them, like very into the Cabbage Patch Kids. So in my probably I was around 20-ish maybe, and we were moving, and we moved from one city. My mom sold the house. I went off to university, came back, all my stuff was in boxes and things and packages and that sort of stuff. And My Cabbage Patch Kids were in boxes. I didn't see or look at them for probably a year or two while I was away at school, even though I would come home for holidays and stuff. So I didn't really look at them. And then somewhere around 23, 24, I lived on my own and they came out of the box. And I kind of look back on this as like, I felt like safe enough at 23, 24 to take them out of the box. Then trauma at 25. They went back in the box. They went back in the box. I went back in the box. They stayed in the box until I was 39. They would come out occasionally. I would look at them and I'd be like, blah, blah, blah. 39, I took them out of the box and then I put them back in. And about 5 years ago, I took them out and never put them back in. But one in particular, I have many. I have like 20, so I just they don't all stay out, but the one in particular stays out all the time. And part of that is because my husband is incredibly good at entertaining my inner child. And my inner child is so entertained by my husband that it's like I've never met a little girl who doesn't love my husband. He's just like that person that every little girl falls in love with, just as Ziva did when Ziva met Mike, was like clung to his leg and just loved him from the very second. Actually, every little kid I've ever met, every little girl especially, just loves Mike. So for me, having that play and having my Cabbage Patch Kids out there available, I think I told you guys a crazy story, but like sometimes I will, so I also love puppets. Sometimes I will get in the groove of just being able to like, be super expressive via the Cabbage Patch Kid, so it's very healing for me. And no, it's not sexy, but what it does is it creates a sort of relationship between me and my husband that I have never had with anybody else. And the fact that he's so good about it, and the fact that he allows me to be me in that crazy, quirky way, has helped me heal tremendously. Probably helped me heal more than I would say some of, the therapies I did. Yes, the therapies I all did were super helpful, screaming and gestalt stuff. All of that stuff was super helpful. But I think had I had somebody in my life at the time who allowed me to just show up, who had that strength of character that allowed me to be the softness I needed to be, so I didn't have to be on guard. So when you're on guard all the time, it's very hard to be soft. It's very hard to be receptive. It's very hard to be able to bring your divine feminine to the front. So in healing, part of it was to just be like, okay, and now I have this like female body. It's been traumatized. And I wanted to reject it so bad, just like ignore it, hide it, everything, right? Don't let anybody see it because they're probably going to want to do stuff to you. Which, people have tried since, right? But luckily, like now I know have the now know-how and whatever wherewithal to be able to navigate that a lot better. So, in being able to be that softness, I've been able to heal some of the stuff where I thought I had to do it on my own. And the have to do it on your own part is where you can often reject partners and what they're trying to offer you. And that can destroy relationships. So, in healing your trauma for more pleasure, in healing your trauma, you actually can have greater relationship in general, relationships plural, with many people because you can now receive them. So, if you are, somebody who's been traumatized, you might have been born with male genitals, you might need somebody stronger for a while to help you heal until you can get into your divine masculine. But ultimately, I do feel like we all have both. We all have divine masculine, divine feminine. But for me, I really took over with the divine masculine. I had to be in charge, angry, wanting to be aggressive, being the warrior. Oh, those are all qualities and traits of divine feminine as well. However, I was like not embracing the potential of it, the softness of it too. It was just the anger and the rage and the so many other things, and it wasn't working for me. It was actually creating a lot of walls and barriers to having even people show up as my clients. The more I could receive people, the more I could soften and receive people, the more my business could flourish. And every day that I get to be that softer version of me and trust in, not micromanage whatever my husband does, and he doesn't micromanage me, it's incredibly helpful. So, you can grow up essentially, which when you've been traumatized, you don't feel like you can grow up. I had lots of other traumas when I was little too, but the one when I was 25, sexual trauma at 25 was so significant. It really fucked me up, to put it bluntly, for quite a long time. And I'd been in therapy prior to that, and then I walked away. I didn't even want to talk to people about it for several months. My mom had known. I eventually, after 2 weeks coming home from where that happened, I told my mom what had happened, because she kind of pressed me for it. And I frankly didn't tell her because I felt embarrassed, like I would have let her down, that I was like repeating a cycle, generational crap. And then, yeah, she just said, you know what, you just need to come and I will just look after you. So my mom could be that authority figure as well for me for a bit. But I needed somebody in a different way as well. So that's what my husband offers. Okay, so I should head up, I should stop talking about me so much, but I want to give you guys examples. So this is how I'm sharing my story. How do you get into your body? It's really helpful to be surrounded by people who are the energy that allow you to be in your body, that allow you to be the softness you need to be and be the strength you need to be for you to show up, to be the inner child, to heal all those aspects of you, to reclaim those parts of you that go away. Sometimes they go into deep hiding until we can actually look at that stuff, and until we can be in a safe place to be able to look at those things. So we're going to head to our first commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. In that last segment, I kind of gave you guys a big lowdown about me, my story, and I didn't give you like big details. I don't feel like anybody really wants to hear big details, because they, in hearing the, you know, the big details of trauma, the trauma that I experienced when I was 25, that particular one, sexual abuse trauma, and hearing details, I think sometimes what happens, I know for me, I can find it super triggering if I watch movies that where there's rape involved or grape. Well, I don't know. We have to rename things now because we can't call them what they really are. So in those spaces of watching those things, sometimes my body will have like visceral reactions to it. It like memory coming back, right? So that's a somatic reaction. It's gotten a lot better, but there's still some times where it can be brutal. I have to say that as much as I love Outlander, some of the stuff in Outlander was highly, highly triggering. There were parts of like season two with Jamie being violently sexually abused that I really like. I just started bawling and just like lost it. So yeah, those things can still happen sometimes. Sometimes maybe they need to. Sometimes I maybe just need to cry it out. I also try not to have it rule my life. So moving it out of my body. One of the things that I learned to do when I first started to choose, like deeply choose to not let this rule my life, and I did like energy work, I did gestalt therapy, I did dance therapy, I did art therapy. I did a whole bunch of things. I also learned martial arts so I could feel more like I was confident walking around, more in control. That's a whole other friggin' story unto itself involving my instructor. Anyway, that's a whole story for another day. But the traumas were never ending for a while. Even while I was healing, there was like repeated reminders and things that I would have to like look at and go, okay, what is it that I'm like attracting? Is it, do I have victim written on my forehead? How can people tell that they can do this to me? So what I know now is in the last few years, I no longer have victim written on my forehead. It's somehow, it's like, I don't know, it's not like the time, like time has gone by and it's faded. My energy around it is like, don't F with me, I will kill you. Are you allowed to say that? Anyway, don't do it. It's like a thing that when you feel strongly that you've got your own back and nobody can screw you over, then that whole thing changes. Your whole demeanor changes, your posture changes. I had a lady who was really sweet the other day say to me, yeah, you like walk like I wouldn't want to mess with you. I'm like, you can walk this way too. Let me show you the way, my friend, because right now you're walking as if you're scared of life. And there is a look to people when they are scared of life, and their posture screams it. And it reflects in a lot of different ways in how the body responds. So, how do we get ourselves into a place where we can actually feel, what's the word, where we can feel like we own our bodies, that we're safe? No, safe is like, I feel like I keep using that word over and over again, but I guess it's the word. So before we try to force ourselves to just get over it, because there'll be people who will tell you, it's been like 25 years, just get over it. Still, once in a while, something kicks in. But I tell you, it is so much better than it used to be. It used to be like right after it happened, I was such a mess in my head that it's like I needed to like escape my body in order to even try and deal with it. Yet I'd go and I'd get work done so that I come back in my body, and for that hour that I was getting worked on, I could be present. And that was an hour more than maybe prior to going there, right? So maybe I spent the entire week floating outside, hovering, not really present. And for that hour, I could be present. And then as things changed, like, oh, I could be a little bit more present and a little bit more present. And then doing body work, the body work that I now do with people. One of the things that we do is when people get on the table, we don't like necessarily assume that you start in a certain place. Sometimes I think with massage that happens. I don't know. It seems to me anytime I've had a massage, it seems there's like a rhyme or a reason, like a sequence that people go through. That's not the case with mitzvah. Even though I think some people, when they come to see me, they might think that's the case. It's only because their body has not actually fully integrated new habits yet. So we're doing similar things in order to get those new habits going. So in that body work, why I'm mentioning this is in the body work that I do is I might go to move somebody's arm and it might go to a certain space and then it won't go beyond that. And then I wait. And then I come back and I try and move the arm again. And it might move even 1 millimeter or 1 centimeter more. That's half an inch to the you guys and Americans, like about half an inch more than it did before. And the body starts to trust and it starts to return to its natural movement and it starts to return to pleasure. And as I work on people, their nervous system starts to calm down. I think it's really helpful that the environment that I work in for my private sessions is like this beautiful space in the middle of a forest. And during the winter, which the show is being recorded during a snowfall, actually, we have a beautiful little fireplace going. So it's really cozy and you can just watch the snow going down and some people just want to stay. So that's happened as well. And so you allow the body to move a little bit more and a little bit more. And you kind of test to see if the body is willing to let go a little bit more. It's not about going from zero to hero. It's not about having very limited movement and then going and becoming like hypermobile or something. That's not the point. It's about allowing the body to relax into each phase of change. And then the nervous system relaxes, then it lets go, then the body allows for more movement. And so when I look at that and I look at how and what I required for healing was, especially when it came to the part of allowing myself to be sexual, consensually sexual and not obligation sex, what I needed to do was kind of coax my pleasure into my life again. And, you know, thinking that you can go from being completely violated to having total pleasure the next day is, I mean, I don't know, maybe people do it. I can't say that I did. I coaxed myself into receiving a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more and starting to figure out what it is I actually like. And then not being judgmental of myself on the things that I do like. So some of those things, like just starting to get that, I don't know how else to explain it. It's like, yeah, coaxing yourself into more pleasure. And coaxing might sound like it's like trickery, but it's actually an invitation. It's a bit of like, seducing, that's a better word, seducing the body into more movement, seducing the body into having more pleasure. But it takes, it's baby steps, guys. It's just like, try it, be with it, see how you feel about it, check in on it. And so when I work on people and I do say move their arm or something, and then I let it go and I just let the body integrate that, see what it does. And then I'm doing something else. Well, I let the body figure out whether that was enjoyable or not, or how it reacts, or how the person's mind is reacting to their body. Because sometimes they're like, whoa, I didn't know I could do that. And then, you know, you're like, yeah, it's because your body is allowing for more movement, you know? So a lot of people don't realize that it's 90% them and 10% me that's part of the healing. I provide the space. And I provide the energy, and I do provide a lot of knowledge. I have to say, I've been educating myself on this stuff for decades. So I do provide all those things, but it's really about allowing the body to receive. And as soon as the body can receive, even like a little, minute little bit more, it can start to heal. and then a little bit more. And then, yeah, so it's in steps. It's very much gentle steps moving forward. Don't think it's going to happen overnight. It's not, and it shouldn't. It would be confusing if it did. I'd find it very confusing if it was like all of a sudden there was massive trauma, especially like a sexual trauma, and then the next morning you're like, okay, I'm fine, whatever, I'm good. Doesn't really work that way. If it's worked that way for you, please let me know, because I'm curious about that. I know I tried to like fake that I was okay. It really didn't work for me. It actually created a lot of issues. So yeah, that was years ago, and luckily I've now grown more. I've done a lot more healing, and I'm lucky to have a partner who entertains my inner child to allow that to happen. So we're going to head to the next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and I'm your host, Melitza Yelenich, and we'll be right back.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Melitza Yelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Melitza Yelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Melitza every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Melitza Yelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MelitzaYelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. This is The Pleasure Zone, and I'm your host, Melitza Yelenich. One thing I want to get you guys to do before I go on to this next segment is, can you just like head over to Apple Podcasts and find The Pleasure Zone and 5-star me? I would so appreciate that. Even write comments. If you're loving the show, I would love to hear why you love the show. Maybe today's your first episode and you're like, I love how much you talk about your own crap, lady. It's great. I don't know. But sometimes telling stories helps people relate. And I find that that's, for me, one of my easiest ways to explain things to people is what I went through and what I did to change it. So yeah, please head over there. And anywhere else that you can like, share, comment, please do so. Really helps the algorithms, really helps me, helps motivate me. I've been providing information via The Pleasure Zone for the last over 11 years, and I keep going because people will like, comment, share. That is so helpful. And I especially love the people who write to me. I have some top favorites who write to me on a, not like a weekly basis, but, you know, like a seasonal basis. You know, I'd call you out by names, but I'm not going to do that right now. I'm just letting you know that if you're wondering if it's you, it probably is. If you've written to me and I've written back to you, then yes, it's probably you. There's a handful of you that we stay in contact with. If you want to be one of those people, write to me too. And you can find me through my website, MelitzaYelenich.com. That's my name, MilicaYelenich. jelenic.com. And let me know, are you curious about any of the things I've been talking about? Have you been listening to other episodes? What's going on? Is there anything you'd like me to talk about? Let me know. Just before the break, we were kind of talking about pleasure tolerance and how low pleasure tolerance can be after trauma, and how sometimes coaxing your body back into the whole experience of pleasure can be a lot, like very, it can be a long process, and that's okay. So the goal and the target of being able to reconnect with your body and have pleasure, the real target is presence. Just be able to be in your body, and then be able to be in your body and feel good for, say, 10 seconds, and then be in your body and be able to feel good for 10 minutes or an hour. I was sharing with you guys how, I would go and have sessions, and for that hour, I could feel pretty present and good. And then it would expand to more and more and more. And if you need somebody to be there to facilitate that for you, that makes total sense. I needed somebody to facilitate that for me. I still have people that I rely on when I'm having a time. So absolutely know that it's not only okay to have somebody to talk to, like a therapist, or even going to somebody to do somatic body work, which is can be an incredible experience to move the trauma out. So all of these things, somatic breath work, movement, dance, sound work, all of it is so helpful. I've done all of it, frankly. I've done all those things, not every single thing within those categories. There's a lot of different bodies of work within those categories, but under those categories, I've done somatic breath work. I've done somatic movement of different kinds, and I don't know. There's so many somatic things these days. I've done so many of them, and all of them super helpful. What I do know is that I didn't do it alone. What I do know is that it was knowing that there are safe people on the planet, people that I could lean on to when I needed it. That was the key for me in healing. And the more reliable they were, the better it was for me. So for me, learning how to build trust was part of one of the sexiest things I could have done for myself. Learning how to trust me and then learning how to trust the person I'm with is so important. And I think I was recently watching something on Instagram, and I can't remember the guy who did the interview with Brené Brown, but Brené Brown was describing, she calls it the marble, I think she calls it the marble method, the marble method of trust, and how we can easily lose trust and like dump our jar of marbles of trust out so fast by somebody doing something that could be that we find like offensive or hurtful. And that building up of trust can be slow, like adding one marble to a jar at a time. I kind of summarized her words there, but if you haven't seen it, look up the Marble Method by Brené Brown. It's really quite brilliant. And the more you build trust in you personally, the more you will be able to trust others as well. And that trust will help you relax. That trust is going to help you to be able to have your nervous system calm down so that you can actually have pleasure. So, pleasure in itself can feel incredibly vulnerable. If you've ever had an orgasm in front of somebody, they could either be really kind about it or really rude about it. They could make fun of the way you look or your face or think you're not enough. I don't know. The only time I've ever had that was I was actually doing something, and I was just transmitting the energy of orgasms. I wasn't giving like a face look, or like wasn't like masturbating at the time while I was doing it. It was just like being that energy. The person I was doing that with, it was a woman, and her reaction was so bizarre and almost like rude that I lost trust in her. So, yeah, that was an interesting experience to lose trust in somebody. And it was kind of a thing where I felt very insulted by what she had to say. Because apparently the only way to have orgasms and look orgasmic is the way she did it. And I was like, wow, I'm just being in the energy of it. I don't need to like have my mouth gaping wide and like thrusting something. Like I'm just here existing because existence can be orgasmic. So those like little trust bits too, when you're being vulnerable, if somebody is like rude or insulting, that could strip it away so fast. Or if they're pushing you to have bigger and better orgasms when it's not what you asked for, what you asked for was connection. Then having those like having that like forced energy on you can be such a turn off. You can also lose trust. It can be really hard on developing a relationship. The ideal situation would be that the person celebrates you while you're being vulnerable, especially when it comes to anything sexual. If they celebrate your pleasure, if they smile and enjoy what you're receiving, where they have like compersion, they're enjoying that you're enjoying. Now that's the good stuff. And if they get into critical or judgmental, that's when the energy goes wah, wah, and sucks. And sometimes it's just like it shuts off completely and you don't even want to be part of it. And so for some situations, people might want to just pull away from sex because that energy does go wah, wah, and it's like, man, that sucks. Or, you're just being treated as a sex slave or a sex doll or something. And you're not really being connected with. You're just being used as some kind of living, breathing toy. And some people like to be used as a living, breathing toy. Again, you require consent for that. And if you don't like being used that way, then it's not going to turn you on. So the vulnerability that comes with having sex, even being naked with somebody after trauma is huge. Having some, if you were traumatized and they also said shit to you and that stuff sticks in your head, like if they were like belittling or degrading you while they're like violating you, then that shit sticks in your head. And the next time somebody says that to you, it may be triggering. Triggering's a big freaking word. Triggering isn't like, oh, I'm upset now. Triggering is where your body has a visceral reaction to a memory. It's much bigger than what a lot of people are calling it these days. I saw an excellent post about the word trigger today, and I was like, exactly. I read it and I was like, that's exactly what it is. It's not like, oh, that I didn't enjoy that or that was annoying. Annoying is different than triggering. Triggering is your body has a visceral memory of it, has a reaction. You get stuck in fight or flight sometimes, even if it could be, for a few hours. You don't really, in those moments, you're not really thinking. And sometimes all your tools go out the window. So I've had, it's really cute when I have clients go, this thing happened and like all my tools went out the window. I'm like, yeah, they're probably triggered because your tools go out the window when you're triggered. If you're annoyed, if you're just at the state of annoyed, then you can usually bring your tools into play and figure that out. When you've been triggered, it might take days or a reminder. And that's where having some people in your life to remind you, to bring you back, to help you get into your body, to get grounded, and to move that shit out and change it is really helpful. If you don't have anybody like that and you'd like somebody like that, that's where I come in. That's where the work as a sex and intimacy coach that I do comes in and as a relationship coach. This is where, if you're really struggling and you just need somebody to remind you of things or to get you back on track, that's the work I do. Along with all the other body work and energy work and healing work, as a sex and intimacy coach, I help you with intimacy. If you're struggling with your own self, and if that means that you've gone through stuff that's made that happen, then we work on that. So, We're going to head to our last commercial break. You are listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and I'm your host, Milica Jelinic, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. I'm your host, Milica Jelinic, and this is The Pleasure Zone. Tonight, we are talking about reclaiming pleasure after trauma. And in this last segment, I want to share with you guys like a little exercise that you can do for yourself, because I found that having different things to do was really helpful. I really love dancing it out. That's one of my favorites. I really love somatic movement, and I love somatic breath work. Those ones really help me a lot. I'm not going to do like a somatic breath work journey here for an hour. If you want to have a session with me on that, for sure, connect with me. But for now, let's just keep it simple. So number one, let's just get comfy, cozy, whether you're sitting or lying down. If you are driving or operating heavy machinery, or you know you're at work, because I know some of you listen while you're at work, then just leave this part for later and then just get comfy. So while you're getting comfy, just you can either put a hand on your heart or a hand on your belly or both and take some deep breaths in. So in for five, out for five is a good way to start. In through your nose for five, out through your mouth for five. One, two, three, four, five. Keep that breath going. In for five, out for five. And then just check what's going on around you. Are you safe? And just ask, am I safe? And then look and see, is there any danger going on right now? There's nothing dangerous? Okay, I am safe. Are you safe in your body? Is it safe to be in your body? And just check on that. Is it safe to be in my body? Oh, maybe. Okay, yes. And maybe it's a yes and. Maybe it's like a yes, I'm safe to be in my body. And I also like to know that I can still escape if I have to. I need that exit, you know, and that's okay too, because you can discover why you need that exit. Just feel that. Feel the support of either the chair or whatever you're lying on as you just continue to deep breathe for five, in for five, out for five. This isn't like a necessarily deep meditation, guys. This is just a noticing. And then as you're looking around your space, just find something that you like. Maybe there's lighting. Maybe there's, I have some crystals I like to look at. Maybe there's a color on the wall. Maybe it's nothingness and you're just staring into space. And just connect with that. Connect with that and be present with it. And then know that you are safe in your space. Know that you're allowed to be where you're at. Give yourself permission to be there. I give myself permission to be present. I give myself permission to be in my body. I give myself permission to have pleasure. I give myself permission to have peace. I give myself permission to heal. And you can give yourself permission for more things if you like. Then, just as you're being present with your body and breathing, you might want to just explore what is it to feel to be able to touch yourself. And you can start with something simple like stroking your own fingers. If you don't have fingers, then maybe your face. You can use whatever body part and just stroke your own face and just see what it feels like to touch yourself. Do you feel safe with your own touch? Are you safe with your own touch? Have you ever harmed yourself? And if you have, then just as you're noticing your touch, if any of that's coming up, and if you need to stop and just stay in a spot and cry, that's okay. Allow those feelings to come up. Let them to move forward. Take some deep breaths in for five, out for five, and then check if you're okay now. Are you going to harm yourself now? And if you get a no, fantastic. If you get a yes, then one of the things that you can do if you really feel like you're going to harm yourself is you might want to stop whatever this is and then just call somebody that you trust, that you love. Or if you don't know anybody, then call one of the hotlines if you really feel like you're going to harm yourself. But if you don't feel like you are, go back to the touch and just notice what it feels like. Notice the pressure that you like. Notice the heat that you like. Notice the speed too. Yeah, you might be finding that there's like a specific speed that's kind of not really slow, not really fast. And your body just feels connected to a certain speed of movement. And think of it as when you're touching yourself, like if you're touching your face, just think of it as like, how would it feel if you were being touched by the person that you adore and that you love? What does it feel like to feel their touch? What does it feel like to feel like you're touching them? And then gift that to yourself. What does it feel like, that memory of that moment, if you were ever loved? And if you never had a lover, but you have remembrances of people, maybe a grandma that was like sweet to you that touched your face, then remember that kindness of touch. It's really about bringing trust back in with touch and remembering that your touch can be trusted with yourself. And so allow yourself to receive the touch that's kind, the touch that can be pleasurable, the touch that is either gentle or a little bit deeper. It's the touch that you enjoy. And what touch is that? And just be with that and notice things like notice other sensations you might have felt. Maybe you got tingling in your toes or flickering in your eyes. Maybe there's other things you were feeling while you were giving yourself the touch that a lover would give you, or the touch that somebody who loved you gave you, or the touch that you gave yourself when you were learning to love yourself. So what did you notice? Were there any other things that came up? What felt good, or what felt like nothing, like, or what felt too much pressure, too much speed, too much aggression, or the energy didn't feel right and you needed to switch that up? What was that? Did you notice anything about yourself? Did you notice anything where you felt like any boundaries coming up? Did it bring up any memories of touch that crossed the line? Sometimes that will happen too. Just be with that and remember to breathe in for five, out for five. You don't have to rush your healing. You don't have to override your body signals. You don't have to perform. Pleasure is not about performance. You don't have to do it alone. You can always seek support. And you don't have to judge how fast you're recovering. You don't have to judge your process at all. Take some deep breaths in and some deep breaths out. Know that you are 100% worth the healing of trauma. Know that you're worth healing the trauma that can bring you pleasure, and that you are worth whatever it takes in order to start to trust you more so that you can have better relationships, that you can tell your story without feeling, like you're going to break down and cry every time. Know that you have that strength. If you're listening to this show right now, you actually have the capacity and strength to heal. You've got this far through the episode. And I'd love for you to connect with me anytime through my website.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.